Thank you all for joining me here this morning. What a great schus for all of us. Yom Kippur, some people are tired, some people are sluggish, some people want to sleep in, some people want to prepare drushas for sukkahs, but not us. We are here and we're ready to learn Torah together. It's amazing. Thank you all so much. We're obviously going to be off from now until Erev Shabbos Brachos, Amir Tashem. We will be back. I want to thank our sponsor for this morning, anonymously in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be for an aliyah for his neshama. And I hope everyone had a really beautiful Yom Kippur. I know here at BRS, it was spectacular. It's like, I told my wife, it's like the, you know, your battery's like getting low and then you got to put it in the recharge and then it's good for another while. That's what Yom Kippur is for me. The batteries are fully recharged. And they'll be even more recharged after Sukkot. All right, let's get right in. Parshas Hazino, I don't know if we'll go with the full 30 minutes today, but we will do our best. So obviously, you know, the emotions of today are a little bit strange. On the one hand, if you're like me, you still feel very connected to Yom Kippur. That ecstasy of Ni'ilah is still pulsating through our veins. On the other hand, this Shabbos, even though it's Parshas Hazino, it kind of belongs to Sukkot. Right? Who here isn't anticipating the upcoming Chag, the joy that comes with it? I mean, there's a little bit of cooking and preparation that needs to happen before that, but this is the man talking, right? Who's not looking forward to the Chag and all the joyousness that comes with it? So it's a very strange Shabbos because it's kind of caught in between those two worlds. And I think there's a Medrash that very much explains that contrast or that dynamic. So the Medrash says, right, Hazinu Hashemayim Va'aretz, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu has his goodbye party. And he speaks to both Shamayim and Aretz. He speaks to both the heavens and the earth. Hazinu Hashamayim Vadabera V'sishma Ha'aretz Imrefi. He speaks to both the heavens and the earth. Medrash says, imagine you're making a party. And you invite Reuven, so Shimon's going to find out, and Shimon's going to be insulted. But if you invite Shimon, then Reuven's going to find out, and Reuven's going to be insulted. So what do? Obviously, you invite both. Says the Medrash, that is exactly what was going through Moshe Rabbeinu's head. Moshe Rabbeinu says, on the one hand, I was born on earth. I'm flesh and blood, just like every single one of you. So if I, right, on the other hand, Moshe says, I lived in the heavens. Vayisham im Hashem. Moshe was in the heavens for a considerable period of time. So he says, if I invite Shamayim, if I invite the heavens, then the earth is going to be insulted. If I invite the Aretz, if I invite the earth, then Shemayim is going to be insulted. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He invites both. It's such a strange medrash, right? Shemayim is going to get insulted. Aretz is going to bring the party hats. Like, what exactly is going on here with the medrash? And so I think that this is the end of Moshe's life, and it's actually the most fitting tribute to everything that he accomplished. Because we say, HaShemayim, Shemayim, LaHashem, Ve'aretz Nasan, Levin Adam. Usually, there's a separation. Heaven and earth are bifurcated from one another, right? And as much as we would love to scale the heavens, we see the heavens as unattainable and unreachable. Moshe Rabbeinu is different. Because Moshe did something amazing. He was born of the earth, and yet he scaled the heavens. And then he did something absolutely historic. He brought back the Torah with him. In other words, what he did was he taught human beings that we can be on this earth, but also have access to Shamayim. That by studying and learning Hashem's Torah, we, even though we are physically here on this earth, we are able to connect to the Almighty up in the heavens. And so at Moshe Rabbeinu's goodbye party, Parshas Hazinu, he invites both heaven and earth to remind us that we're not just meant to participate with the affairs of the earth. We're not just Ve'aretz Nasan Lifnei Adam. But actually, we can access the heavens. That through our learning and pursuing of Torah, we can tap into something far higher than ourselves. And I think the reason why that's such a beautiful message this Shabbos is exactly as I said, because of the dynamic, the strange dynamic that this Shabbos has in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Because less than 13 hours ago, you and I were still acting like angels. We weren't eating. We stood on our feet together. We acted like angels for 25 hours because we experienced what it was like to stand in the heavens. Sukkot is the exact opposite. Right? Sukkot, we don't go to Hashem, but we invite Hashem to come to us. We do all physical things on Sukkot. We eat, we drink, we sleep, we play board games. We do all of it, but we do it in the sukkah. So Hashem is now invited into our house. So how do we bridge the gap? How do we create that transformation between Yom Kippur when we're angelic and Sukkot where we bring God down into this world? What better way to prepare than by learning and studying Torah? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to communicate to us in his Hazinu HaShamayim Va'aretz, in his inviting both heaven and earth to the party. He says, yes, Va'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Yes, you are created from earth. And yes, HaShamayim Shamayim LaHashem. And yes, it's Hashem in the heavens. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to give you a tool that's going to be able to connect the two of them, and it's Torah. Torah is the way that we can bridge the gap between the heavens and the earth. It's why I believe it's such a fitting time for this parsha to be read, because it's the bridge between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. It's the bridge between being angels and bringing Hashem into our lives. So that's idea number one that I want to share with you, a pshat, an understanding of a medrash, which I think is otherwise a very difficult medrash to understand. Idea number two comes from the Chasam Sofer, but we'll have to work to get to it a little bit. In Parshas Hazinu, we encounter for the very first time a new name for Klal Yisrael. It appears in Perek 32, Pasuk 15, Vayishma Yishurun Vayivat. Yishurun is a name that's used in reference to Klal Yisrael. Now, we say it every morning in the Korbano section of our davening. We say, Shmehaftecha Shehafta Oso Mishemachta Shesemachta Bo V'karata Eshmo Yisrael Yishurun. Again, we refer to ourselves as both Yisrael and Yishurun. But what's interesting is that name of Yeshurun only appears two other times in all of the Torah. And the other two times, one is in our Parsha, and the other two times are in Vizos HaBracha. Vayi Bishurun Melech, and Ein Ka'el Yeshurun. So it appears three times in the entire Torah. It waits. It's like Hashem's like holding his cards all the way up until the end of the Torah to tell us about this new name for the Jewish people. What is so special about this name for Klal Yisrael? So the Ramban, earlier in Sefer Dvarim, tells us about this name Yeshurun. In the context of explaining why some people's names appear one way, one place, and another place, another way, and another place, for example, Yonasan and Yehonasan, over there, the Ramban says that Yaakov gets his name changed. Why does Yaakov get his name changed? Because the word Yaakov, says the Ramban, is Lashon Mirma, or Akalkalut. It's a language of crookedness. Right, because he was always conniving, he was always trying to trick his way out of situations. But later, Bnei Yisrael, Yaakov's descendants, we become Yeshurun, which is the language of Yashar. So whereas Yaakov is crookedness, Yisrael is Yashar. Okay, as we say, Kitaseh Tov Yashar Bnei Hashem, that we should do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. And so, pshat is that the door of the Midbar, they were not deserving of this name Yeshurun. The name of Yeshurun only comes to the generation that's going to the land of Israel. Because it's a name that you have to deserve. You have to work for it. You have to earn that name. Now listen to this understanding of the Chasam Sofer. It's unbelievable. The Gemara Maseches Yoma, which those in just the Daf Yomi just learned it, says that the Choshen that the Kohen Gadol wears were the names of the three Avos, the 12 Shvatim, and the words Shifte Yeshurun. Again, that name Yeshurun. Now, whose stone did this word Shifte Yeshurun appear on? So the Medrash says that the word Yeshurun appeared on the stone of Binyamin. Why the stone of Binyamin? Says the Chasam Sofer something amazing. He says that, you see, the Gemara tells us that in the first Beis Hamikdash, all of the Shvatim were straight, and all the names appeared exactly as they were supposed to be. Right? The door of the Midbar in the first Beis Hamikdash, it says Shifte Yeshurun, corresponding to all the names of the Shvatim. Okay? However, in Bayesheni, where Sinas Chinam was so rampant, so they were no longer deserving of the name Shifte Yeshurun, and the only one, says the Chasam Sofer, that was worthy of this Yeshurun was now Binyamin. In other words, at one point, it referred to the entire Shvatim, and then it was only Binyamin. Why only Binyamin? Says the Chasam Sofer something amazing. Because you have to earn that title of Yeshurun. Yeshurun was on Binyamin's stone, because while the other Shvatim were involved in the Sinas Chinam of Yosef, the baseless hatred to Yosef, and the other Shvatim, right, Binyamin was not involved. And because Binyamin was not involved, even at that Sinas Chinam generations ago, so he's the one who earns that title of Yeshurun, right? The word Yashar, Yeshurun, is a challenge to us. It is not granted to us. We have to earn that elevated title of Yeshurun. It's why it only appears as the generation is going to the land of Israel, because the generation in the Midbar was not worthy of it. It's why Binyamin receives it, because Binyamin is the only one who was not involved in the Sinas Chinam. The other Shvatim were, quote-unquote, downgraded between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni because of Sinas Chinam, except for Binyamin. Because Binyamin was not involved in the baseless hatred of Yosef, he continued to merit that the name Yeshurun would be on his stone. An amazing idea about the word Yeshurun, a reminder that while we will always be Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, right? There's that name Yeshurun that we have to earn, that elevated status of being Yashar, of being straight, is a challenge to every single one of us, that we have to live up to that title. We have to be deserving of that title. And that's really the challenge after Yom Kippur, as we've already reflected for so many days, 40 days, now 41, on how to better our lives instead of and improve ourselves, right? So now we talk about the word Yeshurun, of always making sure that we live up to the standard that Hashem set for us, that we're deserving of that title, and that we live up to that title. So idea number one came from a Medrash, the party between Shemayim and Aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu invites both because he wants to show us that there's a way that we can bridge the gap between heavens and earth. Idea number two comes from the Chasam Sofer, right? Why is it that the word Yeshurun is found on the stone of Binyamin? Because Binyamin earned it by not being involved in Sinas Chinam. Not being involved in Sinas Chinam. The word Yeshurun only appears three times in the Torah, all the way at the end, because it took us that long to earn that title, to be deserving of that title. And my tefillah, my bracha is that we should once again, we should always be deserving of that title as well. The last idea comes from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. Be'er Mayim Chaim writes that the pasuk says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Leloheinu. Kishem Hashem Ekra, that I will call out to Hashem's name, Havu Godel Leloheinu, and I will give him bracha. Right? Okay. So says the Be'er Mayim Chaim, an amazing thing. Amazing thing. He says, Yisbar al derech masha kasu talmid Rabbeinu Yona v'harash. Quotes the children, the students of Rabbeinu Yona. We say something, I don't know if you ever noticed it, at the end of Modim Derabanan. The last words, right, Modim Derabanan, we're thanking Hashem again. And then the last words, we say something interesting. Al she anachnu modim lach baruch kela odos. We thank you for the ability to thank you. What a strange language. Al she anu modim lach, or al she anachnu modim lach. We're thanking you, Hashem, for the ability to thank you. That's so strange. Says the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Shu amashe atazi kisanu, minasat alanu zos, shenizke lahodos Hashem. It's exactly what we're doing. We're thanking Hashem for the ability to thank Hashem. Al ze baruch kel haodos. She'anu mevarchim osach. We're blessing you. U'mahalalim u'mishabchim l'shimcha gadol v'chadosh. We're praising you, the Almighty. Why? Baze she'anachnu modim l'cha mevarchim osach. We're praising you for the ability to praise you. For the ability to praise you. For those who participated in our shir on breathing, this was a comment of the Chasam Sofer, Parshas Naso that I quoted. Because the Medrash says, right, we say every morning, Kol neshama tehalalka haluka, Kol neshama tehalalka haluka. Says the Medrash, Al kol neshima neshima she adam, no shame. Every breath we take, we have to thank Hashem. Ask the Chasam Sofer, why are we repeating it? So he says, because what we're really thanking Hashem for is for the ability to thank Hashem. Ama ani mehalalo. What am I praising you, Hashem, for? Shezikani she'al kol neshima ani mehalel. That every breath you give me, Hashem, is an opportunity to praise you. He says, that's pshat. We don't just breathe for hevel varik, says the Chasam Sofer, for futility and to serve our needs and desires. Aval ani mehalel al kol neshima. Why am I praising you, Hashem, with every breath? Shezikani lahalel al neshima. That I can praise you with my breath. Right, I praise you for the opportunity to praise you. That's what the Chasam Sofer says in Parshas Naso. That's what the Be'er Mayim Chaim says over here. Right, we thank Hashem. Al she'anachnu modim lach. We're thanking you, Hashem, for the ability to thank you. We're praising you for the ability to praise you. That's ultimately what we are here to accomplish. We're here to use all the gifts and all the brachos and all the talents and all the life that Hashem gives us, not just for ourselves, but we're here to use it to praise you, Hashem. That's what we say at the end of Modim, Va'al Kulam. Right, Hashem, now that I recognize all the brachos you've been giving me in my life, V'al kulam, Yisbarach, right now I'm going to praise you with it, Hashem. Now I'm going to use it to thank you. So says the Be'er Malim Chaim, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Ki shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. Right? Peir Sha'al Zeh Gufa. Tzrich Anan La'aseis Gedula V'kavu V'shevach Li'yotzei Breishis Baruch Hu. For this alone, we give praise to Hashem. Al Asher Zika Osanu Likro B'shmo. For the fact that we can call His name, for the fact that we can daven to Him, and for the fact that we can learn. Right? Don't take for granted, for a millisecond, that you and I have the opportunity, three times at least a day, to have a conversation with our Creator. Don't take for a second for granted that you and I have the ability and the wherewithal and the awareness to learn God's Torah and to connect with Him in the most intimate and meaningful ways. And so we thank Hashem for that, because there are plenty of people that live in a physical world and have no awareness of God. And they have no capacity or skills or tools to be able to praise God. And so we say, Ki shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. I'm going to give you praise, Hashem, because you give me the opportunity. Ki shem Hashem Ekra. Because you give me the opportunity to call out your name. That is a gift. It's an amazing gift that we have to be able to speak with Hashem, to dialogue with Him, to call out to Him, and to praise Him. Kol ha-neshama tahalalka. With every breath, I thank you, Hashem, but I thank you for giving me the opportunity to thank you, says the Chasam Sofer. Al she'anachnu modim lach, barokela odos. I'm thanking you, al she'anachnu modim lach, for the opportunity to be able to thank you. Right? That's what Hashem created us for, to be able to recognize His hand in this world, and to be able to thank Him for it, and to praise Him for it. If you pay attention to Baruch She'amar Nishtabach, that's exactly what it is. Right? Read the words carefully tomorrow. A Baruch She'amar Nishtabach. All we're saying is that Hashem, we're praising you. Right? It's all about praising Hashem. And we say Hashem by Nishtabach, even if I haven't gotten all the words in. Right? I can't fully comprehend what it even means to praise you. But I recognize that that's the greatest gift that I have, is the opportunity to praise you. And so we saw three ideas. It was a little bit shorter this morning. As I said, it's a busy morning, but I didn't want to pass up on the opportunity to learn Torah together. Idea number one came from the Midrash, of why does Moshe invite Shamayim and Aretz? Why does he invite heaven and earth? So the Midrash says, because Moshe says, if I invite heavens, earth is going to be insulted. If I invite earth, heaven's going to be insulted. So what does he do? He invites both. What's going on here? So he gave a pshat, we gave an understanding. That whereas generally we say that the heavens are to Hashem and the earth is to man, Moshe did something amazing. Moshe scaled the heavens and he brought back Torah. He says, this is the ladder, this is the connection. You can scale the heavens if you learn Hashem's Torah, by studying Hashem's Torah. And so at Moshe's goodbye party, he invites both heavens and earth to remind us that even though we are on this earth, we can access the heavens, we can tap into the divine, we can tap into eternity. And that's, I thought, the bridge between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The bridge between being angelic and being in this world, but also elevating ourselves to that connection to the heavens. Idea number two came from the Chasam Sofer. What is this word, Yeshurun? The Chasam Sofer says the Yeshurun is a title that we have to earn. That it comes from the word Yashar, straight, right? As opposed to Yaakov, which is the name of crookedness and fooling. He gets a new title at the end, Yeshurun. Why does it come at the end of the Chumash three times? It didn't appear any point up until now. Because the Dora Midbar, they were still coming out of Mitzrayim. It's only the generation that's going to Eretz Yisrael that earns that title of Yeshurun. We have to be worthy of it. We have to deserve it. We have to earn that title. That's why Binyamin, his stone on the Choshen, merits the word Yeshurun, because he didn't participate in Sinas Chinam. And so he earned that title. The last idea comes from the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu, that we have to remember to thank Hashem for the opportunity to thank Him. There's so many people who don't even know about God. They don't know enough to see God's hand in this earth. They're so blinded by materialism and by everything in this world that they're unable to even appreciate God's miracles to thank Him. And so you know what we do? We thank Hashem for the opportunity to thank Him. We thank Hashem that we have the tools and the language and the ability and the capacity. We have a Siddur and a Chumash and we have a Torah and a Gemara. We can praise you, Hashem. And I don't take that for granted for a second. that I can wake up this morning and look at the Master of the Universe and see His miracles all around me, Al she'anachnu modim lach. I thank you, Hashem, for the opportunity to thank you. And with that, I wish everyone a Gemar Tov. I wish everyone a Chag Sameach, that it should be a Yontif filled with lots of Simcha, that we should share our Simcha with other people. It shouldn't be a Simcha's Kreso, as the Rambam says, that we keep to ourselves, but rather a Simcha that we share with other people. And it should be Zman Simchaseinu. It should be a period of enormous happiness for us and our families and for all of Klal Yisrael. Everyone have a beautiful Shabbos.